There's a man in the Bible. He is. We're actually going to do a study. I've heard of pastors who do studies through books, and so we're going to start one of those tonight, and we're going to cover the whole book tonight. So please turn to Jonah chapter 1. Jonah chapter 1. And we're going to start in verse 1, which would be appropriate if we're studying through a book to start in verse 1, I think. Jonah chapter 1, verse 1. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof and went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. The first three verses gives us a good starting point of this story. The word of the Lord came unto Jonah. And the word of the Lord said simply, "Go, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me." This was a wonderful privilege for Jonah. Being a prophet of God, when the word of the Lord came to him, it was a very significant thing, just like it should be when we read God's word. It should be a significant thing to us. When I read God's word and understand God's word, that is a wonderful thing because that tells me that God has spoken to me and that I've understood what God has said. This type of situation is something unique, especially to a child of God. At this time, it was unique to prophets. That were in the nation of Israel. Jonah was one of these men who were the prophets of that time. So the word of the Lord came to Jonah and said, Arise, go to Nineveh. Now, I said Jonah was very privileged to have this take place, that the word of the Lord came to him. At this time, they did not have leather-bound Bibles like we do. With the printed word. They had some scrolls with some of the recordings of Moses, but primarily most of the books of the Bible were still in progress of being written. So God's revelation to man was not complete in written form at this time. So Jonah would seem to me to have been a very blessed man at this time, and he would have been great. He would have been fine, except for verse 3, starts out, but Jonah, the word of the Lord came and told Jonah to do something, but Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord and went down to Joppa. So Jonah did not heed the word of the Lord. He heard the word came to him, he understood what the word was saying. But Jonah did something else. He didn't do what God told him to do. He did something else. And we're going to see that that made Jonah's life, and it made it very interesting here for the next few days, but in a bad way, not the type of interesting we like to have in our life. Jonah disobeyed God. And he went down. Notice it says he rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof and went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. You notice he's going downhill here in his life. He has understood God's word and he's rejected God's word. And he's going down. He went down to Joppa and he went down into the ship. Verse 4, here's the love of God. The love of God is this, that he would not allow Jonah to disobey him without the Lord trying to help Jonah recover his way, to turn back to him, to repent of rejecting God's word. Verse 4, but the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea so that the ship was like to be broken. Then the mariners were afraid and cried every man unto his God, and cast forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea, to lighten it of them. But Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep. So the shipmaster came to him, said unto him, What meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God, if so be that God will think upon us, that we perish not. And they said every one to his fellow, Come, let us cast lots, that we may know for whose cause this evil is upon us. So they cast lots, and the lot fell upon Jonah. Then said they unto him, Tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause this evil is upon us. What is thine occupation, and whence comest thou? What is thy country, and of what people art thou? And he said unto them, I am an Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which hath made the sea and the dry land. Then were the men exceedingly afraid, and said unto him, Why hast thou done this? For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord, because he had told them. Then said they unto him, What shall we do unto thee, that the sea may be calm unto us? For the sea wrought and was tempestuous. And he said unto them, Take me up, and cast me forth into the sea, so shall the sea be calm unto you. For I know that for my sake this great tempest is upon you. Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to bring it to the land, but they could not, for the sea wrought and was tempestuous against them. Wherefore they cried unto the Lord and said, We beseech thee, O Lord, we beseech thee, let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not upon us innocent blood. For thou, O Lord, hast done as it pleased thee. So they took up Jonah and cast him forth into the sea, and the sea ceased from her raging. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly, and offered a sacrifice unto the Lord, and made vows. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. So here we see that Jonah, disobeying God, fleeing from God, he understood God, what God had told him to, and he said, No, I'm not going to do what you've told me to, God. I'm going to do what I want to do. And he went down into the ship, and he was sent, and the Lord sent a storm such that the ship was likely to sink because of this storm. And mariners or ship sailors, especially during this day, were very superstitious people. They had lots of superstitions, but so that's how they tried to find out who this was. But notice that Jonah didn't even care about the people around him. He didn't even care. A good sign of a backslidden believer is you just don't care. You don't care about other people. You don't care about yourself. We don't care about the Lord. Jonah was asleep in the bottom of this ship, even though there was a great storm. And this ship was almost likely to be lost. And yet he was asleep. So the shipmaster came and woke him up. They cast lots, which was another superstition that they used, and the lot fell on Jonah. So they knew, based on what they thought, and this was probably the Lord allowing this, that this was Jonah who was causing this problem that they were having, this storm that they were having. So they asked him, Who are you? And apparently Jonah hadn't told them before who he was. Apparently, they did know he was running from the presence of the Lord, but he didn't tell them. They needed to ask him who he was. He said, I'm a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which hath made the sea and the dry land. Something else that happens when we're backslidden, when we're rejecting God's word, it is that we lose our testimony with others. We don't care about others, and we lose our testimony where people have to ask us who we are. They have to ask us if we're a believer. That's even if it comes to their mind. We lose our testimony. Jonah lost his testimony. Jonah apparently was a prophet. We don't see much of Jonah anywhere else in scriptures besides this book. But the word of the Lord came to Jonah, which was how the Lord revealed his prophecy to men of Israel. So the people of Israel. So Jonah had lost his testimony. They said, how can we stop this? Jonah said, well, you could throw me overboard. But they didn't want to do that. They had more honor than that. They wanted to try to do everything they could to save the ship without killing Jonah, because that's essentially what they thought would happen if they threw him overboard, that he would die. But finally, they could not do anything else. And then they finally threw Jonah overboard. And the sea ceased from her raging. The storm stopped once they did that. So, apparently they realized that the God that Jonah worshipped, the God that Jonah was aligned with or was running from, was truly the God that created everything that we see, and even those things we don't see. Because they feared the Lord after that, and they offered sacrifice unto him and made vows. This got their attention. So there was some witness here, but notice the witness that Jonah had was when they threw him overboard into the water, into the sea. That was when he actually gave a witness about the Lord. Now again, we saw that Jonah fled from the presence of the Lord, from the word of the Lord. He decided he didn't want to do what the Lord wanted him to do, so he went down and he kept going down. Finally, we see him cast into the sea, and if you know much about, you can swim for a while in the sea, but not very long, especially in such raging waters, but he probably began to sink down even further. But the neat thing about this is verse 17. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. This is pretty neat to me because, listen, Jonah was a rebellious child. He had been given the word of God, and he rejected the word of God, and he was living in rebellion, and he was headed in the wrong direction, and yet God had formed a fish to save his life. To me, that's pretty neat. Because I know, now, this was not your typical vacation, 3 days and three nights in the belly of a whale. You might not want that necessarily. So you see, it would have been a lot better for Jonah, I believe, if Jonah had just done what the Lord told him to do when he told him to do it, just arise, go to Nineveh, instead of doing this. But see, even in this, we see the protective hand of God. God was here chastising Jonah, yet loving Jonah. You know, that's the difference between abuse and chastisement, discipline. In abuse, there is no love. In chastisement, there's a lot of love. Discipline is all about love. When God was getting Jonah's attention here, God still loved Jonah. He loved him so much that he even prepared this fish. I don't know of anybody else in history that has ever lived for 3 days and three nights in the belly of a whale. But Jonah has. And actually, you know what else? He was actually used as an example in the New Testament that we're going to look at soon. Briefly, the Lord used Jonah as an example, as a picture of what he would do. So Jonah certainly reaped the benefits of being a child of God. But he went through a lot to get there. He went through a lot to get to the rewards here. Chapter 2, verse 1. Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly, and said, I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me. Out of the belly of hell cried I, and thou heardest my voice. For thou hast cast me into the deep, in the midst of the seas, and the floods compassed me about. All thy billows and thy waves passed over me. Then I said, I am cast out of thy sight, yet I will look again toward thy temple, thy holy temple. The waters compassed me about even to the soul. The depth closed me round about. The weeds were wrapped about my head. I went down to the bottoms of the mountains. The earth with her bars was about me forever. Yet hast thou brought up my life from corruption, O Lord my God. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came in unto thee, into thine holy temple. They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy, but I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. And the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon the dry land. Not a pretty sight, is it? Jonah said, I had seaweed around my head. I was compassed about by the waters. But I'm going to turn my face back to the Lord. And he cried out unto the Lord for help. Now, the Lord is always available for his children to turn back to. Reminded of the prodigal son, the story of the prodigal son who took all his father, took half of his father's wealth, and he went off and he lived a life of wantonness and debauchery with his father's wealth. He wasted all of it. And he got to the point where he was in the pig pen eating the husk that the pigs, or at least that he wanted to eat the husk that the pigs were eating, the slop. The beautiful picture of that story is that he turned his heart and he turned his face back to his father's house. And he went back to his father's house. And his father didn't judgmentally say, well, what do you expect? You know, you're no longer my son. You were gone. You wasted all that money. You wasted everything I gave you. You're not even my son anymore. He didn't say that. He ran to him and hugged him. And he welcomed him home. Same way with the Lord. When we turn back to him from our rebellion and our rejection of his guidance and his leadership in our life, he welcomes us with open arms. He loves it when we repent to him. But he'd also love it if we never had to. It would have been better for the prodigal son to have not gone there, not to have gone to the pig pen. It would have been better if he had stayed in his father's house. It would have been better for Jonah if he had just done what God told him to do. Arise, go unto Nineveh, cry against that great city for their wickedness. Their wickedness has come up before me. So we see here, chapter 2 is a prayer of repentance for Jonah. Jonah has turned his attention. He has humbled himself before the Lord. He realized what he had done. Chapter 3, This is something that I've seen before. The Lord is the Lord of second chances. The Lord is the Lord of second opportunities. Chapter 3, verse 1, and the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time, saying, arise, go unto Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. So we see the message came to Jonah again, and the message hadn't changed. The Lord said, arise, go unto Nineveh and preach. That's what the first message was from God. The message of God had not changed. But listen to what had changed. Jonah's response to God's word. Verse 3, so Jonah arose and went unto Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceeding great city of three days' journey. And Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey. And he cried and said, yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. Wow, what a powerful message. What a powerful sermon. Did you see him mention the Lord here? Did you see him mention God? He says, yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. Now what it says here, it says that Nineveh was an exceeding great city of 3 days' journey. What I understand that to mean is it would take 3 days for a man to walk, to journey across Nineveh. It would take 3 days. So Jonah went in 1 day's journey and cried against the city and said, 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. But you see, it wasn't in the delivery of Jonah that the power was. The power was in God. It wasn't in how Jonah delivered the message that was so powerful. It was the message that he took. Something I would want you to understand from this is, don't feel like you have to be able to say it perfectly to people. When you talk to people about the Lord, don't feel like you have to say it perfectly, because you see, the power is not in my delivery or your delivery. It's in the power of God. The power is in the source of the Word. That's why I'm able to do what I'm doing here, because the Lord can work through my own problems with delivery, my own speech tics and problems that I have. The Lord can work through those, because see, the power is not in the messenger. The power is in the message. If I take the word of the Lord, like Jonah did, the Lord will work the wonder. The Lord will do the work. All I'm called to do is take the message, and he'll see that the work is done. Because verse 5, Jonah went one-third of the way into the city and cried out, yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. But look at verse 5. So the people of Nineveh believed God and proclaimed a fast and put on sackcloth, from the greatest of them even to the least of them. For word came unto the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne, and he laid his robe from him, and covered him with sackcloth, and sat in ashes. And he caused it to be proclaimed and published through Nineveh by a decree of the king and his nobles, saying, let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock, taste anything. Let them not eat nor drink water, but let man and beast be covered with sackcloth, and cry mightily unto God. Yea, let them turn every one from his evil way and from the violence that is in their hands. Who can tell if God will turn and repent and turn away from his fierce anger, that we perish not? So notice that Nineveh's response to the message of God was the right response. They repented. They believed God. They repented of what they were doing, and they changed what they were doing. All based on the message that Jonah gave. Jonah was not by any means perfect. We've already seen that. Else he wouldn't have had that little 3-day, 3-night stay in the belly of a whale. But you see, God used Jonah. God used Jonah. And through the message that Jonah gave, a whole city, a huge city, one of the mightiest cities of this time, repented, believed God, and repented of their evil ways. Verse 10, and God saw their works, and they turned from their evil way, and God repented of the evil that he had said that he would do unto them, and he did it not. Again, I believe I see in this the mercy of God. Now, what is mercy? Mercy is, I haven't asked that in a while, have I? What's that?
Not getting what you do deserve.
Not getting what we do deserve. What's grace? Getting what we don't deserve, right? Mercy of God, not getting what we deserve. This was what Nineveh deserved. The judgment of God. They deserved to be overthrown. They were evil people, violent people. And yet, God sent Jonah with the message a message of mercy. And they repented. They accepted the word of God, believed God, and turned from their evil ways, and God showed them mercy by not destroying them because they repented. You know, that's the difference between us and Satan. Remember what happened with Satan? You remember what Satan did? He was one of God's angels, created by God, apparently very beautiful angel. And yet he rejected God, and he said, I will be like the Most High. I will take the throne from God. Satan is guaranteed by God's word to end up in the lake of fire. He is destined for the lake of fire for eternity. Nothing will change that. He does not have the privilege that we have to repent and accept the Lord as our Savior and receive new life. Satan does not have that. That tells me I'm special to the Lord. You see, we think of angels as special, don't we? We think they're something really great and wonderful, and they are. But you see, they're a creation of God, just like that dog that my wife has at home. But you see, men and women are special to the Lord because he allows us the opportunity. Matter of fact, he paid for the opportunity for us to accept him and be saved and not face the lake of fire. And that's a wonderful blessing to me. But God showed mercy here to the people of Nineveh. But listen now to Jonah. You think Jonah would have had it all straight by now, don't you? Don't you think he would have had it straight by now? But he didn't, apparently. Verse 1, but it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was very angry. And he prayed unto the Lord and said, I pray thee, O Lord, was not this my saying when I was yet in my country? Therefore I fled before unto Tarshish. For I knew that thou art a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness, and repentest thee of this evil. Now notice what Jonah is mad about. Jonah is mad that God is merciful and gracious and he loves people. That's what Jonah's mad about. But you realize what happened with Jonah when he was thrown from the ship. God could have allowed him to drown. But he prepared a fish to catch him. God was merciful to Jonah, gracious to Jonah. And here we see Jonah now is complaining about how God is merciful and kind and slow to anger. And yet Jonah himself was only saved from the raging sea by that very kindness that God showed him. So you see how sometimes we can also become calloused to the kindness of the Lord. We can look at others and say this or that, make our own judgments about things. But I think we should be very careful because the Lord is gracious to me. Why would I not expect him to be gracious to others? Jonah here still had a little bit of a heart problem. He had still not completely humbled himself before the Lord. Verse 3. Therefore now, O Lord, take, I beseech thee, my life from me. For it is better for me to die than to live. Then said the Lord, doest thou well to be angry? So Jonah went out of the city and sat on the east side of the city, and there made him a booth. and sat under it in the shadow till he might see what would become of the city. And the Lord God prepared a gourd and made it to come up over Jonah that it might be a shadow over his head to deliver him from his grief. So Jonah was exceeding glad of the gourd. A gourd, I don't know exactly what a gourd is in this context, but it was some type of plant, obviously. And it would give a shade at least to one man. So Jonah here, he'd made himself a little booth and here on the hillside, and he was watching to see what would happen to Nineveh. Now, God had already decided that Nineveh was not going to be destroyed, but Jonah wanted to see, what I get the sense here is that Jonah was kind of hoping that God would then change his mind and go ahead and destroy Nineveh, and Jonah wanted to see it. Not the best reaction to a revival that I've ever heard, but you see, Jonah still has a pride problem. He's still too proud. And he doesn't realize what God's done for him. He's too busy thinking about what God should do to other people. What should he do to other people? Jonah thought he knew that. But he didn't realize what God had done for him. Apparently, Jonah was really happy about this gourd, right? It's probably pretty hot in this area of the country. So this gave him shade and gave him comfort, that it might be a shadow over his head to deliver him from his grief. So the Lord made him comfortable with this gourd. Jonah was happy with that. Verse 7, but God prepared a worm. When the morning rose the next day, and it smote the gourd, that it withered. And it came to pass when the sun did arise that God prepared a vehement east wind, and the sun beat upon the head of Jonah that he fainted and wished in himself to die and said, it is better for me to die than to live. Now, for one thing, Jonah seems to take things a little bit to the extreme, don't you think? He had had comfort the day before, and he was exceeding glad for that. Then the next day, God had prepared this worm to take the gourd and kill the gourd so that he did not have that shade. And God sent a wind that made it very hot for Jonah, in addition to the sun beating upon his head. And notice his reaction here. He says, it is better for me to die than to live. Don't you think that's kind of extreme for Jonah? To think that just because he's a little uncomfortable, that he should just die instead of living, it's better? He seems kind of wacky a little bit, you know? He seems a little off because, listen, those things of this world are not big a deal. They're not permanent. Do you know that by nightfall, the sun would go down? And it would cool off for Jonah. And yet Jonah here is like, oh, I'm so miserable. I just wish I could die and not live. And God said to Jonah, verse 9, doest thou well to be angry for the gourd? And he said, I do well to be angry, even unto death. Then said the Lord, thou hast had pity on the gourd for the which thou hast not labored, neither madest it grow, which came up in a night and perished in a night. And should not I spare Nineveh, that great city, wherein are more than 60,000 persons that cannot discern between their right hand and their left hand, and also much cattle? The end of the book of Jonah. God said, listen, Jonah, you enjoyed this gourd when I gave it to you. And when I took it away, you've cursed. To the point that you wish you would die. He said, you didn't grow that gourd, Jonah, I did. Came up in a night, perished in a night. And he said, and the Lord was telling Jonah here, I think, if I can do something like that and you enjoy the benefits of it, why can't I spare the city of Nineveh with 120,000 people in it? And he said, who cannot tell between the right hand and the left hand. Nineveh, some have said Nineveh, people of Nineveh were saved through this. I don't know if that's true. There may have been some who were saved, but the majority may probably were not. I just don't know. We're not told that. But you see, they needed the word of the Lord. And the word of the Lord came to them, warning them of the judgment to come. And they turned and repented of those things that were bringing their judgment. We should not feel bad when people turn to the Lord, when they come to the Lord. We shouldn't look at them and say, well, they've done so many bad things, they can't be saved, or they can't be, God can't bless them. Listen, if God blesses me, the sinner I am, why would I say he can't bless anybody else? Because we're all sinners. But I can also, by my own rejection of God's word and my own attitude towards God, I can lose those blessings that God wants to give to me. Maybe even the blessings that he has given to me, he can take those away, just like the gourd was taken away from Jonah. He gave it and he took it away. Job was one who said, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And this at a time when he had lost everything that he had except for his wife. The Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. We need to not be presumptive, presuming what God will do. We should just stay focused on him, believing his word, and accepting and following him the way he would have us to, because then I know he's going to bless me. I know he will. I don't know how, but he will. If I don't, then I know he's going to chastise me. He's going to love me. It's not going to change, but he'll chastise me if I reject his word. Don't follow him with everything I have. He's going to chastise me to get me to do, to help me to understand what I should do for him. That's what he got Jonah's attention by preparing the fish to swallow Jonah. And then he got his attention by giving him the gourd for shade and then taking it away so that Jonah could understand that whatever the Lord does is right. Jonah's attitude was the one that needed to change. Jonah's attitude needed to change. It's not God's. God doesn't need to change to fit my own thoughts and my own opinions. In Matthew 12, I told you we would look at this couple of verses here. Not for long. Matthew chapter 12, verse 38. Then certain of the scribes and of the Pharisees answered, saying, Master, we would see a sign from thee. But he answered and said unto them, An evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall no sign be given to it but the sign of the prophet Jonas. For as Jonas was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. The men of Nineveh shall rise in judgment with this generation and shall condemn it, because they repented at the preaching of Jonas. Behold, a greater than Jonas is here. The Pharisees came to Jesus, the scribes and the Pharisees came to Jesus, and they said, we want a sign from you. Give us a sign who you are. Give us a sign that proves to us who you are. And Jesus said, no sign will be given except this, the sign of Jonah. For as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of the whale, so the Son of Man will be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. This was the sign that they would know who Jesus was. That was, he was 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. You know what that tells me? Or you know what the great thing about that is? 3 days and three nights, guess what? It ends on the third night. So guess what? Just like the whale vomited Jonah onto the shore, Jesus rose from the grave. Much more wonderful that Jesus rose from the grave than that the fish vomited Jonah onto the shore. But you see the analogy, the comparison here. See what Jesus being buried, Jesus dying and being buried, was nothing unusual. As far as people looking at it, that was nothing new, right? The difference was this. The sign was that Jesus rose from the grave on the third day. He rose from the grave after 3 days and three nights. That was the sign. That's what we cling to. Because of that, I know that my Savior liveth. Jesus is alive. And that's who we serve. That's who we worship. And that's who should rule my life. Sign of the prophet Jonah. So Jonah didn't do everything right, did he? He wasn't perfect. He didn't do things perfectly, and yet the Lord used him as an example in the New Testament when he was speaking to the Pharisees. Let's try to do things when the Lord tells us to, rather than making him get our attention like he got Jonah's attention. Because it says in another place, it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. We should daily repent, turn ourselves back to the Lord to do what he's asked us to do, what he has told us to do. Because that is the way to have a truly happy life. We can have a wonderful life here, but I believe that is if we follow the Lord. Jonah's life would have been a lot easier if he just said, okay, Lord, I'm going to Nineveh. And he went down there and preached to him like the Lord told him to. But Jonah needed an attitude adjustment. And the Lord gave it to him. And he will do that for all his children who are in disobedience, who are backslidden, living in disobedience, rejecting his word, because he loves us that much. He loves us that much. Please stand.